Earlier this week, VOCM's question of the day asked, are you surprised that Newfoundland and Labrador spends more money on alcohol per person than any other province in Canada? 91% of the respondents were not surprised. According to a Stats Canada report from just over a year ago, and for some reason it resurfaced just before the May 2-4 weekend, this province leads the way on spending on alcohol at $1,029 a year compared to the national average of $757. But that not mean necessarily mean we drink more. In fact, consumption is down year over year for the last 3 years. It could mean we just simply pay more. My next guest makes the case for privatizing the NLC. Ed Hollard is the writer behind the Sir Robert Bond Papers, joins me live in studio. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning.
Is it simply the monopoly that causes those numbers for how much we spend?
Yes, it is. And in fact, it's not the fact that just the fact that it's a private sector. It's public sector retail. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that we have a closed border. You can't import. You can't bring liquor back and forth or beer and alcohol back across the border. So that's probably the major reason for it. But I go back to three basic things. I mean, there's three reasons to privatize at least the retail part of NLC. The first of it is that there's actually no reason to have it. It doesn't serve any public policy purpose. It doesn't cut down on alcohol consumption. It doesn't make any significant policy impact that you can tell for health or anything else. So if there's no reason to have it, then let's get rid of it. The second reason is that if we got rid of it, there'd actually be more cash. Sell the retail sector, you get the retail segment of NLC, you get cash immediately for it. If the Alberta model holds true, and it should, you then see more stores with greater variety, more employees, and lower prices. Just the sheer volume of, and just the competition in the marketplace should lower the prices. All of that's good. If government also wanted to sell the manufacturing component, which is all the branded stuff, there's even more cash involved in that. And they can keep, as in Alberta, they can keep the wholesaling part, the distribution part for themselves. But the real thing that would make the whole thing fly, and the part that really has the money buried in it, is getting rid of the barrier between the borders, between here and every other province. That would not only allow NLC, or what is now NLC, to profit, but the real bonus there is for all the craft breweries, distilleries, and wineries that are currently only have a market of 500,000 in Newfoundland and have a very difficult time getting across the borders. If you lower the borders, they get access not only to the expanded market and distribution system in this province with privatized retail, but they get access to going across the border. And government can still make all the money it wants to by applying taxes it wants to, including creating a special alcohol taxes.
Why would privatizing the NLC do away with some of the border restrictions currently in place?
Because NLC doesn't decide that. That's a government policy
issue. That's a federal government issue.
It's a provincial government policy issue.
And they've pointed the finger back and forth between the feds and different provinces many times.
It isn't a federal issue at all. It has nothing to do with the federal government. Under the Constitution, it's a provincial matter.
So then why would privatizing NLC have anything to do with impacting opening that border?
It doesn't. What I'm saying is that there's actually two components that have to go together. You not only have to privatize the retail component of NLC. The other part that really makes it fly and it really makes financial sense is to take down the barriers to allow you and me to buy liquor across borders for personal consumption.
Right.
And that's really what it does. Once you lower those barriers, and particularly for a manufacturer in Newfoundland and Labrador, including the manufacturing arm of NLC, whether it's in the private or public sector, it's the access to the markets in other parts of the country, to a market of 30 million people, as opposed to 500,000, that makes the economic difference. So you strengthen the private sector, you increase the private sector's growth here in this province, increase private sector employment, that's all good.
Before we get into what played out in Alberta, one of the issues that the government does benefit with this model is purchasing power. I mean, as far as I understand, the NLC has both feet under the covers with the Liquor Control Board of Ontario, the LCBO. Mix is the biggest purchaser of spirits and beer in the country. Does anything change if and when you privatize?
If you knock down the barriers, you open up competition, and that
I'm just talking about purchasing power, not competitive issues.
Well, there's no real purchasing power there. They have a monopoly on retail, which is the major thing. There's no reason why, and if you knock down the barriers and eliminate the Ontario monopoly as well, then it's up to manufacturers and retailers here to make deals with their counterparts in Ontario as opposed to another government monopoly. We need to end the monopoly on liquor across the country in governments. Just get it into the private sector. Makes no sense to be where it is.
Yeah, so, some of that purchasing power is... The bulk of it comes to the benefit of how much wine you buy, because that's not all buying locally. Are you telling me that there's no benefit to large purchase orders in determining price you pay per bottle?
You get competition in the marketplace will induce that. You don't have to, have these monopoly deals in order to make that work.
So the individual owners of a retail license could simply pool resources to make purchasing.
It's one of the ways they could do it.
Okay.
It's the same way that happens now in the private sector. I mean, you know, you can get your Twinkies cheap. You can get your snowballs and your Flakies cheap now, not because there's a monopoly happening, but because of the competition in the marketplace, the availability to access the suppliers in other places. It's the same way as the rest of the retail sector works, right?
Okay.
You already get lower prices through competition, both in the wholesale and distribution and in retail. You don't need a monopoly to lower prices. In fact, monopolies don't lower prices. Muskrat Falls and Hydro is the perfect example of why monopolies don't lower prices.
I can accept that summary point there. What happened in Alberta? So from where I sit, it looks to have been a boon for private owners and operators and for the government, the number of stores, the number of people working inside the sector. What happened when Alberta privatized?
And that's basically what happened. You saw more stores, greater variety in the stores. And so there's also greater, when these are more stores, there are more stores in more parts of the province. So there's greater access for consumers, lower prices for consumers, greater distribution. But the other part of it, when I was with the Atlantic Institute for Market Studies, we did actually a two-part study. We did one that looked at the privatization of retail in Alberta. But the other story, the paper that we did was on the growth of the craft industry in this province, in the country. And what we found in Alberta was that there was an extra boost to growth. Alberta has a very strong private sector brewery, distillery, and winery sector that benefited from access to the increased marketing in the province, but then also benefited from the ability when they started, before the war started with British Columbia, of having an ability to move product more easily across the border with Western provinces. So those lower trade barriers are the real part that boosts the private sector manufacturing in the province. And then the retail distribution is a bonus on top of that.
Yeah, some of the numbers were something in the neighborhood of 3.5 times more employees working in the sector, 7 times more stores, and of course the variety increased as well.
Exactly. The numbers were phenomenal.
Hey, Ed, it's always good to see you. Thanks for making time.
Good talking to you. Thanks for having me.
That's Ed Hollett. He's the author behind the Sir Robert Bond Papers.